WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump shifting his stance on the war in Ukraine, now saying the country can win back the land it's lost to Russia. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
It's a major shift from President Trump.
Let them get their land back. It could be that Russia's a paper tiger.
The president, on the day of his UN address, saying, quote, I think Ukraine, with the support of the European Union, is in a position to fight and win all of Ukraine back in its original form.
After his address to the UN General Assembly, the president met with Ukrainian President Zelensky. Today, Zelensky will address the body at the UN. Jimmy Kimmel was back on the air last night following his suspension by ABC for speaking out after the Charlie Kirk killing. Nextstar and Sinclair station owners, however, still refused to air the show on its affiliates. Typhoon Ragasa, one of the strongest storms in years, has been whipping up waves and turning rough seas on China's southern coast. The typhoon killing 17 people in Taiwan, 10 in the Philippines. This is ABC News.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. A bill that would help first responders treat opioid overdoses is now on President Donald Trump's desk. Senator Tammy Baldwin authored the Safe Response Act. It gives $57 million per year until 2030 to help first responders help people during overdoses. Baldwin has been vocal on addiction struggles in her own family, and this bill was crafted with bipartisan input. The bill passed the Senate unanimously and is now waiting for the president's signature. Several Wisconsin county sheriffs, including one in northeast Wisconsin, are being sued by the ACLU of Wisconsin for cooperating with ICE. Civic Media's Isabella Nieto reports.
The ACLU of Wisconsin announced last week that it has filed a petition on behalf of immigrant rights group Voces de la Frontera. According to a statement, the group is asking the state Supreme Court to make it illegal for Wisconsin jails to honor voluntary requests from ICE to hold individuals for an additional 48 hours after they should have been released. This additional hold allows ICE to take custody of and deport them. If the lawsuit is successful, Wisconsin local and state law enforcement would not be able to hold anyone in jail beyond their release dates. For Civic Media News, I'm Isabella Nieto.
The lawsuit includes the sheriffs of Brown, Walworth, Marathon, Kenosha, and Sauk counties. Last week, the Oshkosh Transportation Committee sent out a survey to residents on whether or not UTVs and ATVs should be allowed on city streets. In Oshkosh now, ATVs are only permitted to clear snow from sidewalks or driveways. UTVs are not allowed at all. The survey remains open until October 10th. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
The Brewers lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The crew trying to avoid the sweep today after losing another late night game on the West Coast, 7-0 to the Padres in San Diego. How can a team with the best record in baseball get shut out? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
When balls aren't falling or borderline pitches or strike threes and things like that, that's tough times. But you got to get through it. Every team goes through it.
NFL, the Packers making a move, releasing veteran receiver Mecole Hardman from the practice squad last night. After losing to the Browns on Sunday, the team signing a rookie speedster, Jacoby Keeney-James, out of UMass, who spent some time with the Lions. Matt LaFleur on being beat by a Browns team that had not won a game since last November.
I just think this league is such a week-to-week league, and you can never lose sight of that, and you can't take any game for granted. The goal is to go 1-0 every week. It pisses me off when we start talking about things outside of the next game.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Patchy fog this morning, otherwise mostly sunny today. A high in the low 70s. Mostly clear tonight, low, low 50s. Sunshine tomorrow, a high in the mid 70s. Dry, 70s, and sunshine Friday and the weekend. Right now it's 58.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, there is a government shutdown on the horizon. Haven't talked about it much, but we will next time with Pat Kreitlow of Mornings of Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 7:06. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north on a Wednesday morning, September 24th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot standing by as well. Coming up, we will have the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Dr. Jill Underley, joining us for our weekly homeroom segment. She recently gave her annual State of Education address at the state capitol, and will be talking to us more about that in our next half hour. And we have Brittany's forecast coming as well. But as you know, this week we've brought back one of our Text to Win contests. It is time for today's first round of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Yes, green and gold. You'll get cash and jewelry for the prize of the day. Of course, you need the Civic Media app. Look up a station, use the text button. For the 7 a.m. hour here, once I give you the word, you will have until 8 a.m. to text it. There will be seven chances throughout the day, each with different keywords. So seven chances to enter each day. Of all of the day's entries in this multi-state, multi-station game, one lucky winner is going to get $200 cash and a gold-plated chain. And then one really lucky winner for the whole enchilada will get the grand prize, two club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota play some football. It's a Green Bay home game on November 23rd. There's a gas card to get you to the game as well. Total value of the grand prize package is more than $1,500. Now, the first time you enter, you are likely going to get a return message giving you a way to earn another entry linked to a specific activity like signing up for a newsletter. Winners will be contacted by Civic Media within 5 business days, first by text message. Full contest rules at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. All right, if you got all that, then I can give you the new keyword for this hour until 8 o'clock. The word is morning, like morning of the day, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, morning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G. You get till 8 o'clock to text that, and then you've got another chance in the 9 a.m. hour with Jane and Greg for Matt and Air on Air, and then throughout the day for the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Again, the keyword is morning. All right, Brittany's here now, and we have another foggy morning here on Lake Wissota. What the advisories were, just basically the northwestern portion of Wisconsin, right, Brittany?
Yeah, it pretty much goes from Winona, Eau Claire, all the way up towards Hurley, and then everything north and west of that line, you're in the dense fog advisory, but there's still fog creeping into places northeast as well. So Minocqua, Eagle River, you're still seeing that. But it is pretty thick, especially north and west, huh, Pat?
Yeah,
you can see far.
It is. I mean, I can't take the pontoon out right now. I just couldn't see where I'd end up on the golf course across the way. So
that would be eerie.
Yeah, we need a little sunshine or something. What you got in store for us?
I got a little bit as we go later on throughout the day. More and more will peak out. Further south in the state, though, you're going to have to wait maybe until tomorrow to see more sunshine. You do have a chance for some spotty sprinkles on occasion, but no heavy rain or anything like that. It would just be a sprinkle here or there. So less clouds later in the day. We're looking at breezy winds out of the north today. A beach hazard statement, too, from Milwaukee through Racine and Kenosha. Those waves are building up about 3 to 6 feet out there, so not a good beach day. And temperatures right now, about 55 or so to 60 degrees for a majority of us. It is mostly cloudy, and we will make it today to the mid-60s to about 70 degrees. So slightly cooler today than the past few days. Then we start our warm-up tomorrow. Slow at first, but it really bumps up as we go into the weekend and next week. So tomorrow, a few mid to upper 70s scattered throughout the state. Friday, all of us hitting the upper 70s and then nearing 80 by Saturday. And then places south will be hitting 80 all throughout the weekend and into next week. A lot of places north flirting with that as well. And it's going to be dry and sunny, and you won't even need me for a little while because it's just going to be gorgeous. Mwah! Out there.
we'll need you. We'll take it. Yeah, just to remind us, keep reminding us how beautiful it is. Rob yes. says, good morning from Tigerton, cloudy and 54. I have mowing jobs in Wittenberg today. One of the places where I mow in Wittenberg, Rachel's Roadside Bar and Grill, made it on YouTube's Best American Restaurants. I couldn't make it to the broadcast because I had to work. I mowed two huge yards in the rural areas of Tigerton with no cell coverage. Yesterday, it was a very beautiful day till the clouds came out in the late afternoon. No fog right now in Tigerton, just cloudy, but Brittany always brings sunshine anyway, regardless.
Oh, thanks, Rob.
And Tony, of course, being up in Ashland, talking about the green and gold contest, forget the pack, forget the tickets to the football game. It's the gas card. He's like, you're going to pay for my gas too? That's like getting another ticket.
True.
which is true with what they're charging for gas to get from Ashland to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I don't know if Tony can win, but all of his neighbors in the Ashland area, they could.
That's funny.
I want gas. I'll go. I don't even have to watch the game. You're giving me a gas card.
Somebody else can have the tickets.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, Tony then can give them away in his own way. But anyway, Brittany, thank you so much for the update. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to you next hour. All right. Hey, remember, sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. At that point, you can see Ellie talking all about music. Turns out Ellie's a fan of some of the older music here, and some of us appreciate that very much. In fact, I like it so much, I think that starting next week in this time slot, we're going to bring Ellie on to talk more in person about what's in the newsletter. I think we've given her enough of a grace period, and we now need to subject her to this radio show. And so look for that starting next week. But she's busy working on not just, you know, getting used to the new digs and everything, but she's working on a special fall edition of the newsletter that'll come out this Friday. It's all about fall festivals and Oktoberfests, and get ready for some spooky sights as we get closer to Halloween. So, I mean, if you're looking for ideas for weekend road trips or things right in your community, go get signed up for the newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the banner at the top of the homepage. And while you're doing that, sign up for Civic Media's new daily newsletter. For that, you got to take your browser over to Substack, specifically civicmediatoday.substack.com, and get the best of all the shows. Of course, you could also take the shows with you. And to do that, well, go over to Spotify while you're doing all the surfing. Just get it all done. Get over to Spotify, follow this show and all of your other favorite Civic Media shows. And that way you're never going to miss anything from what we do throughout the course of the day here on Civic Media and at Up North News. Speaking of Up North News and over on our Facebook page, we were looking at, you know, some of the posts and, you know, monitoring some of the comments, because every so often you get a troll in the comment section, and we got somebody in the comment section. I don't know that he would consider himself a troll, but he does a lot of trolling out there. That'd be Derek Van Orden. That's right. The congressman jumped into our comment section about a story that we did late last week about all of the threats that he's making to people's employment and threats to cut federal funding to like entire cities, like Eau Claire, like the entire Mayo Clinic system, because he doesn't like what some people said about the Charlie Kirk murder. And he wants to equate it to domestic terrorism. And I wish I was kidding, but I'm not. And so when we noted in our article, you know, the ways that what Derek Van Orden is doing runs counter to the First Amendment, he got in our comment section and he said the following: not all speech is protected speech. 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. We will not be sending money to organizations or municipalities that keep people on their payroll who advocate for domestic terrorism. For people who advocate for domestic terrorism. That's what he thinks when people put up posts that indicate that they were not fans of Charlie Kirk. So as for that citation that he made, we just put up a post. You can find it on our social media sites where we correct the record. We note that in the U.S. Code, Chapter 18, Section 2331, Paragraph 5, does indeed outline domestic terrorism. It covers activities that are dangerous to human life or try to intimidate or coerce a civilian population or influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion. We read it. We read it again. Did not see anything in there about social media posts that make a congressman angry as somehow defining domestic terrorism. In fact, that law that Van Orden cites does not designate domestic terrorism as a crime. It defines domestic terrorism so that people can be charged with other crimes like murder and hate crimes and weapons violations. But by Derek Van Orden's logic, countless free speech posts seem to him to, quote, advocate for domestic terrorism and could be punished by the government. And so we ask people to get in the comment section and tell us, do you agree with him that when people were criticizing Charlie Kirk or simply echoing his words back, is that not protected speech? Because Derek Van Orden said, not all speech is protected speech. And he's right about that part of it. There is hate speech. There's the, you know, yelling fire in a crowded theater type of speech as well. But posting on social media that he didn't like Charlie Kirk and it leads to, I mean, perhaps 1,000 posts by now from Derek Van Orden. In fact, the Washington Post took note of it. They have a new article this morning, co-written in part by Patrick Marley, who was at the Journal Sentinel for a long time. And the Washington Post article focuses on a teacher in Ellsworth, Krista Lysecki, who was looking at the coverage about Charlie Kirk and grew exasperated because not enough was being made of the horribly racist and hateful things that he said. She tapped out a Facebook post about it, and it was where we actually first saw Derek Van Orden threatening to cut all funding to the city of Ellsworth unless this teacher was fired. Well, she has been suspended with pay, and she's waiting to find out if she will be fired or otherwise disciplined. And she told the Washington Post, people are upset that people wanted to silence Charlie Kirk, but they're not upset that I'm being silenced. I may not be proud of what I said, but it was my right to say it. And that is really what it comes down to. And it's the point Jimmy Kimmel was making yesterday as well when he came back on air, was that the First Amendment works best, works to its utmost when it protects speech that you don't like, that you don't agree with. That doesn't make it domestic terrorism. That doesn't even make it hate speech. It's simply something that you didn't like. Might make you outraged, but as long as you don't instigate violence or government threats as a result of it, then the First Amendment is doing what it's supposed to do. So Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters, as he has. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants, and he does. And he can cite a specific chapter, section, and paragraph of the U.S. Code about domestic terrorism. But he said, read it. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fifis all hurt. Still to come, we'll be talking to the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Imagine if you could obliterate all the mental blocks that hold you back. Too good to be true, right? David and Gina of Workwell Hypnosis help their clients leave bad habits, self-doubt, and internal turmoil behind. They cover a large number of common issues: smoking, overeating, work-life balance, low self-esteem, virtually anything holding you back. Workwell Hypnosis can unlock a better version of you. Transform your mind and your life. Get to workwellhypnosis.com to schedule a quick, easy call to learn more. Your future looks incredible.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We don't always agree politically, but Bill McCosh.
Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
It's been a really special season, and it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
How do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways.
Yeah.
Find some common ground and then expand on that. And right. Then you got to listen to the other side.
Our neighbors are not our enemies. We can disagree politically, but still find ways to bring our community together.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hello, Wednesday. This is Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale. And because it's Wednesday, Karen Schneider from the Oshkosh Herald is with us today. How are you doing, Karen?
I'm doing well, Lisa. Happy Wednesday.
And to you, too.
Here we go.
If you want to read the Herald, what are the things to look for this week?
So on our front page, there is a really great story about a program that's through the Oshkosh School District called Project Life. It's kind of an extension from Project Surge. And what they do is they take children, students with disabilities here in the school district, and they teach them work and life skills so that after they graduate, they can join the workforce. You know, and these are kids that most likely are not going to go on to the university or tech school or anything like that, but they are being worked with one-on-one, and the program is set to hold 12 students. Right now there's 10, there's 5 from Oshkosh West and 5 from Oshkosh North that are in the program, and they meet out at the Oshkosh YMCA for their classes and their job coaches. But then there are 3 businesses here in Oshkosh that they intern at and they have jobs at. Yeah. And I'm going to give a shout out to Buffalo Wild Wings, Goodwill, and the YMCA, because that's where these students are working on developing those life skills. And you know, in full transparency, my buddy Gus is part of this too, and he works at Buffalo Wild Wings, and it's just so awesome to watch him grow as, you know, he's given this opportunity to, you know, to be mainstream, basically, right?
Right.
So what's really cool about this program, not to give it all away, but they're also turning these students into entrepreneurs. So, you know, there's the food cart, the food truck that they have. But now they're also making products like these dog mats, and they sell these dog mats and different things. So it's a really nice story. Again, it's on page 1 in today's Oshkosh Herald. talking about this program and how they're developing and giving the skills to these students.
Is this the first year for this program?
I believe it's the second.
Okay.
I'd have to look again, but it's actually a national model, and mm-hmm. It's in 14 states, and I stand corrected. It started in Oshkosh 6 years ago.
I was going to say, that sounds a little bit like a program that my son might have been involved in. Full transparency, my son's on the autism spectrum. So, you know, and it's so important to give them these skills so they transitioned into adulthood. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
You know, and they're treating, you know, they're making sure they're taking those classes in reading and math and, mm-hmm. and, you know, that financial literacy and so forth that students have. They may not be at the level of most graduates, but they're going to have that skill set to be able to support themselves and have that job and that employment.
I love that. I'm looking forward to that story. So, but that, while that's a good news story, you have a little bit of an off news story today too?
There is. And this one caught me off guard actually, because it's our, it was written by Michael Cooney, who's a freelance photographer, and he's been contributing photos for us since we started way back in 2018. But this is on Rasmussen's Apple Acres. And how, you know, this could be a final season, which, again, I was caught off guard. But owner Tom Lurvy, who's 80 and has been tending the orchard for nearly two decades, you know, is basically saying it's not paying for itself. Where it may need $20,000 in revenue, you know, it might be making 10. Not as many families are going out there to pick apples and so forth. But, you know, this is one of those things that when it's gone, you miss it. So,
right.
Again, it's in today's Oshkosh Herald, but if you were looking for something to do with your family, I would highly recommend taking a trip out to Rasmussen's and doing some apple picking.
Yes.
Who knows, maybe we can get it to go one more year, and so forth. But so that was a little sad, you know, for me to read and realize it. But again, as a small business owner, I understand that as
right.
well. And that's a hard decision when these things have been in there for generations. And, you know, as his granddaughter is quoted in here, would she love to keep it going? Absolutely. But is it sustainable?
Right.
You know, so that's the other thing in there too. But it's a good local story, but really talking about how their future is uncertain, and it's the economics of everything.
And that's just it. It's the economics of everything. You can't continue a business if that balance is not there, if you're not getting as much as you're putting out.
Exactly. And, you know, the apples may be red, but you can't run in the red.
Okay. I love that. So, that's a great way to put it.
You know, and I know there's a lot of local businesses around that are basically sustaining the business to keep it going mm-hmm. without having that profit on the other side. And a lot of them are, you know, most of them are local, and that's why, you know, we always say support local, right? Because when
exactly.
It's gone, folks, you know?
Yep. And so, it won't come back usually.
Exactly. You know, if the orchard goes away, you know, all you have to do is close your eyes and envision what will go there. It's great land, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also been out there for decades. You know, we go out there and pick apples and
you know, one of the things that we don't do too often here at WISS is local sports. We just don't have the team, but you do at the Oshkosh Herald. So tell me what you got sports-wise.
So I'm just going to shout out Steve Clark there because he's our sports guy and he does a fabulous job.
Yes, he does.
This is actually a community call out. And the Titans volleyball team is looking to set an attendance record on community night. Now, if you've never gone to watch these young women play volleyball, you are missing it to begin with because they are champions, right? They put on a competitive show and they're fantastic. But the match is set to start this Friday at 7 p.m. at Kolf. Admission is free, but they are looking to try to get the record is 3,517 people set in 2012. In 2023, when they did this, they drew over 2,700 people. So, you know, it's free attendance. It's great competitive volleyball to watch. So that's Friday night. So if you don't have plans, or if you do have plans, go a little early, go a little later, but make it to Kolf at 7 o'clock this Friday.
That sounds like a blast. Where can we pick up the Herald? Where can we view it?
You can find it at OshkoshHerald.com or visit your grocery store, your local grocery stores, Quick Trips, BP's, and you can find us there as well.
Karen, thank you so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure to have you.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
WISS, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
We are in the early stages of the Wisconsin cranberry harvest. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. But some unforeseen weather circumstances could be influencing this year's crop. We'll share that story next.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, innovation, the
in Eagle River, Dave Zawatowski of Lake Nokomis Cranberries has his harvest underway, but he said he's a little worried about this year's crop and the influence that all the smoke that drifted in from Canada did on early fruit development. He says right now, looking at the yields, he doesn't think it's going to be a record breaker.
I think the smoke from Canada is kind of playing into our crop more than, maybe more than we think, you know. And An important part of getting a good crop is to get it pollinated. And we can bring in all the bees in the world, you know, but if it's smoky, the bees stay in the hives. They don't come out. So if you have a few days of that smoky Canadian weather, that particular variety may not get pollinated the way it should.
Dave Zawatowski from Lake Nokomis Cranberries in Eagle River on why the Canadian smoke is robbing him of some potential yield this year. He also said the odd weather that we've picked up so far this fall, with the cooler than expected weather that we experienced in early September. He says that's an influence not on this year's cranberry crop, but next year's, since some of the budding for next year is already happening now. And if you enjoy birds, you're being asked to turn non-essential outdoor lights off from 11 p.m. tonight till 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. It's part of the effort called Lights Out Alerts. 21 million birds will be migrating through Wisconsin overnight tonight, and scientists say keeping lights out makes sure those birds have a safe visit. That's just a quick update on what's happening in food news on a Wednesday. I'm Pam Yonke. You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Pam Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Patchy fog this morning, otherwise mostly sunny today. A high in the low 70s. Mostly clear tonight, low, low 50s. Sunshine tomorrow, a high in the mid 70s. Dry 70s and sunshine Friday and the weekend. Right now it's 58.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back, and this one is good again for Hoskins.
Brewers Baseball on WISS is brought to you by Addish & Jones Realty, Zaroni's Macaroni Pizza Pub, Green Thumb Organics, and Berkshire Hathaway Water City Realty. Catch Brewers Baseball all season long on WISS. Maggie Dawn.
Federal judges are speaking out against Donald Trump's attacks on the rule of law and the Supreme Court's evident complicity. Join us as we speak with former Judge John Tinder and former Judge Diane Wood.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back. A reminder that our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest is going on this hour. And the key word for this hour is morning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, like the morning part of the day. Text morning using the Civic Media app before 8 a.m. and you will be in the running for a daily prize, which is $200 and a gold-plated chain. See, green and gold. And also in the running, every entry is in the running for the grand prize, which includes tickets to a Green Bay versus Minnesota game in Green Bay, playing a little football in the month of November, and a gas card to get you there. Again, details at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.com. But morning is the keyword to text before 8 o'clock. And then your next chance to win, and there are seven chances every day, your next chance to win the 9 a.m. hour on Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Time for our weekly homeroom segment where we talk about public education in Wisconsin, opportunities and threats. And the threats are out there, but there are people who are willing to lead and call them out. And one of those folks is the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley, who joins us this morning in the wake of her annual State of Education address delivered last week. Well, Jill Underley, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning to you too, Pat. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. It's so nice to have you here today. I mean, you've seen the headlines in the coverage of your remarks. And so we're going to start there. I mean, there are definitely issues that are internal to education in Wisconsin, but there's some real external pressure, and it's reflected in headlines that had you taking note that the biggest schoolyard bully that Wisconsin schools face right now is our own federal government, is the Trump administration. It's a very assertive thing to say. Tell folks why that was a central part of your remarks.
Yeah, well, so the overall message from the State of Education address is that Wisconsin public education is a living story. It's written daily by students, educators, and communities. The themes in the State of Education were about belonging, love, community, pride in our communities. And what we're seeing right now is that the federal government is really trying to destroy that, right? They're taking away funding for teachers. They're taking away funding for special education students. The one that was in the headlines was students who are deafblind. They've threatened funding for school nutrition, programs in our schools. And so it's just really, they are the ones that are really causing a lot of chaos, I think, and uncertainty in our schools. Schools are wondering, are they going to get this money? And at the Department of Public Instruction, we're left to navigate that and stand up, for our school districts, which is what we'll do anyway. But the federal government is really inserting themselves into the everyday operations of our schools and really threatening the good work that our schools are doing.
Especially for a group that says that all the time that they're looking to give education back to the states, they sure seem to find ways to continue to micromanage or to interfere. And you touched on one of them that really got my attention yesterday as Up North News reporter Selena Heller was working on this story about how under Trump, the U.S. Department of Education is canceling funding that would go toward the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Program. And why is it being endangered like this? Because it falls under Donald Trump's definition of DEI, that you're singling out a group for help. In this case, children who are deaf and blind. Talk more about the program and its value, as well as the assertion that there's something divisive apparently about this.
Well, that's just it. It's just so arbitrary. I think, you know, when they were going through these programs, they're just doing a find and search, you know, in the grants for anything that mentioned diversity or inclusion or equity. And the deafblind community, I mean, it's a very specific population, very vulnerable population, very specialized when it comes to instruction. And when you look at special needs, or you look at the deafblind community, you know, as an example, I mean, what we do in public education is we try to ensure that every human has an opportunity to be included and belong in their communities. And so we provide specialized training. We provide, you know, this grant money provides specialized instruction, but also training for the teachers, materials, I mean, Braille. You know, so it's really just disheartening, and rather it's just cruel, to be honest, that they're just kind of, that they're doing this to our communities. I mean, they're just ripping things apart that we have spent time building and investing in over the years.
Well, we've had politicians doing that at the state level for some time as well. We're talking to Jill Underley, Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instruction, and you focused on that, about pulling resources away from our public schools in order to fund the, you know, the private voucher scheme that's going on and is taking up, you know, it's getting mighty close to a $1 billion price tag that I still think plenty of taxpayers around Wisconsin don't know about. What they know is that there are these referendums. All the time, these referendums, and you have some politicians that are painting the school districts as being greedy and having to raise taxes. And it feels like you're the one connecting the dots, saying there's a reason for these referendums, and it's not any kind of selfishness on the part of your local school board.
Yeah, I think people are starting to put it together. I mean, because the money is, you know, the money that the legislature puts in every year, you know, it is pie. I mean, if you want to think about it that way, it's just that the piece of the pie that goes to privatization just keeps getting larger. So therefore, even though the money might appear that, you know, the legislature is putting more money in every year, it's just that the portion that goes to our public school districts is getting smaller. And I do feel people are putting it together. I'm seeing a lot of signs of hope. You know, like, for example, like in the Green Bay area, they were able to put it on their tax bills, you know, how much money was going to private schools from their tax, from their property tax. So, I mean, I know people want this information on there. And my hope is that, you know, in the next few years, if the legislature is able to, you know, get more gains with more public school advocates in the legislature, that this will be on everybody's tax bill. It's just, transparency is so important in government. And I do see some signs of hope there.
As we talk about moving from the, you know, the 30,000 foot level of federal funds and state funds into the classroom itself, current practices, technology, teaching methods, everything else, when you look at that part of the state of education in Wisconsin, are there things there that need particular investment, that need more of a focus than they've been getting these days, that where Wisconsin kids might risk falling behind if we're not funding, you know, something to its proper level, or not keeping our teachers trained or anything like that? Where are those opportunities?
Yeah, I think it's all of the above. So as you're probably aware, but maybe your listeners are not, we did undergo a strategic planning process over the past couple of years, and we listened to people throughout Wisconsin about what they want in their public schools. And so we came up with four different pillars, and the one that I'll talk about right now, I mean, is the innovative education. We really need to start preparing kids for their future and not our past. I mean, when you think about how school is done, in many ways, it's still done the same way as it was 50 to 100 years ago. And so we really need to start looking at innovation. We need to look at how we're able to meet students where they are and where they're going to go. I mean, technology is moving so fast right now. And we need to expand, you know, personalized learning and competency-based learning in our schools. We need to use career pathways to our advantage. We need to improve access to learning opportunities and library resources. And our goal is to prepare kids for their future. We're also looking at educator recruitment and retention. We know that the number one indicator of a child's success in school when they're in the school is the quality of their teacher. And when we have, you know, this turnover with our teachers, when we are struggling to fill high need areas like math and science and global languages and special education, that's hurting kids. And that's hurting our future, you know, not just our economy, but I mean, just these humans, you know, their future. So we have to really look at and agree that strong schools need strong educators. And we know that we need to expand access to grow your own programs. We need to improve teacher compensation, mentorship, professional development. But going back to the federal aspect, this is an area that they are really leaning in on cutting funding for is our educator workforce.
It also sounds like people in the legislature, certain folks have wanted to stress standardized tests and the method of scoring and tracking that. There's been some back and forth in the legislature about that. How would you describe the current standardization test and grading process? Are there still changes that need to be made compared to where we are right now?
Yeah, I think that was the interesting criticism, I think, about my state of education, is just that the speech was about, you know, belonging and community pride and the things that we need to do to make our schools stronger. And the opposition or the people who criticize it really are like, well, you know, she's just lowering standards. The thing is, it's like the test is just a one point in time. And it's always undergoing review. When you look at our standards are updated every 7 years, and it's not the same ones every year. So it's like, you know, math is done 1 year, literacy is another year, science is another year. And so it's like the test is constantly undergoing changes. And so you do have to update the metrics. And so it's, you know, that's one piece of it. But then the other piece of it is our school report card, our school and district report cards, which were put into place 15 years ago, and they're in state statute as far as what, you know, is measured. And so we did look at that for the first time in 15 years, and just to make sure that things are on track. It's kind of like when your computer undergoes an update, it always seems like, oh, it's at the worst time, or your phone has to download an update. But that's what we did with the state and district report cards. It's like it was due to get an update and just make sure everything was aligned. But again, it's just one piece of information. We've got lots of other indicators, of the health, I suppose, of our public schools.
And finally, you were recently elected to a second four-year term. There's going to be a change in the governor's office one way or another, a brand new governor. We right. won't know the makeup of the legislature, but with you being freshly elected, you're certainly positioned to be the most, fearless advocate is the right way. You've got the job security, essentially. How do you see your role over the next 4 years, the public-facing part of your role?
Look, I have never shied away from saying what I need to say or what needs to be said when it comes to public schools. I mean, that's always been my, just one of my characteristics, right? And so what I'm going to continue to do is just continue to advocate for public schools. I'm going to continue to advocate for the things that I know work. When we look at child development and we look at success academically, I mean, I talked about, you know, teachers and them being the number one indicator for academic success, but there's a lot more that goes into it. You know, school nutrition, making sure kids have access to mental health, but also health, medical health as well, and dental health too. And we also need to just continue to modernize our public education system. So I'm going to continue to speak out in favor of all of those.
Dr. Jill Underley, we've run out of time, but it was so nice to hear all about the state of education. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Pat.
All right. Much more in the 8 o'clock hour ahead of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This update sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you.
Be one of the first 30,000 ticketed fans through the gates at the Brewers game on Saturday, September 27th to collect a one-of-a-kind Brewers tumbler, courtesy of Quick Trip. Grab your seats today at brewers.com/giveaways.
Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org, insured by NCUA.
With locations in Appleton and Oshkosh, Insight Eye Care has been serving the Fox Valley since 1972, offering comprehensive eye care services. Their doctors also share a special interest in treating chronic dry eye disease, providing specialty contact lenses, and expert pediatric eye care. Find Insight Eye Care on North Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Improving lives by improving sight with quality eye care for everyone in your family. Insight Eye Care. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam today.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Donald Trump's March 25th executive order on elections, attempting to override the U.S. Constitution's grant of election authority to states and Congress, has so far been blocked by 4 of 5 lawsuits filed against it. A ruling in one of those cases, September 17th, allows a challenge from 19 states to move forward. The executive order would withhold federal funding from any state which does not implement the use of the National Voter Registration Form and mandate proof of citizenship documents, including a birth certificate, naturalization papers, a real ID compliant driver's license, or a U.S. passport. It would also end mail-in ballot grace periods, restrict ballot deadlines to Election Day, and withholds federal grants if they don't. States challenging the order include California, Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Nevada, Massachusetts, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Wisconsin. U.S. District Court Judge Denise Casper issued a stay on Trump's order in June, saying the states had demonstrated a substantial risk that citizens would be disenfranchised. Her September 17th ruling confirms that the states have legal standing to contest the president's order and that they would be harmed, particularly by the withholding of Help America Vote Act funding. We've linked to the order and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey Oshkosh, the Hope Fridge is returning. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you. And this is truly exciting for the area. In fact, there's going to be a grand opening on Thursday, October 2nd, beginning at 9 a.m. outside Trinity Episcopal Church at 203 Algoma Boulevard in Oshkosh. And they're inviting you to join them. You can learn how to get involved in supporting this community resource through donations, volunteering, or just by spreading the word. Check it out. Head to WISS.FM and click events.
For WISS, I'm Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale, and today I'm joined by Yava Engel, who is the Executive Director of the Oshkosh Area Humane Society. Hi, Yava.
Hello.
We have got to talk about the Walk for the Animals. You guys had a very successful fundraising event this month in September. So tell me a little bit of how that went.
Oh, Lisa, it went really, really well. We had, so this whole campaign around our Walk for the Animals is something that we start planning on early on in the summer. And we're raising funds for our medical care because every animal that comes into the shelter gets medical care. So it's not just the ones that are sick. Every single one gets microchipped, vaccinated. And of course, those that need medical care, additional medical care, receive that as well. So we fundraise every year. And this year we had a goal set that was a record high goal of $65,000. And I'm super thrilled to tell you that we exceeded our goal. Our preliminary final fundraising total is $68,400.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. So you met your goal and exceeded it by over $3,000. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So I know there were a lot of people that helped you put this together and came together to work for the animals. Can you tell a little bit about the volunteers and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. And it's our staff are really focused on this event as well and planning it out. And then we always, always need volunteers to, well, first off, to distribute the signs, put up signs so people know that we're doing the walk for the animals. Our volunteers help us fundraise through pledges from their friends and family. And then, of course, at the event itself, we have so many different booths and activities for kids, and we always need volunteers to help with that.
So this is something that if you didn't get to help out this year, because it's passed this year and mm-hmm. you've done such a good job, maybe next year, if somebody really wants to get involved and help, they could.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I would just urge them to sign up pretty early if they are not a current volunteer, because we send out to current volunteers our asks to see who is interested in helping. But if they are not a volunteer yet, they can apply. I would probably urge doing that in the spring and just upfront identify that you'd be very interested in helping with the walk. It's a lot of fun. So definitely we are super excited to welcome anyone.
Absolutely. So that event, fantastic event. You've mm-hmm. raised a lot of money. And I do want to go back and mention that this is all, as you said, for medical care for the mm-hmm. pets. And I think maybe people don't think about that each animal that comes through, you don't know their vaccination history. So they all have to be vaccinated.
Absolutely.
You mm-hmm. don't know their medical history. So they have to be looked over. They have to be mm-hmm. assessed. Mm-hmm. Some of them need dental work badly.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Some have injuries. Some mm-hmm. have upper respiratory infections, mm-hmm. kennel cough, all sorts of different
chronic
things.
Conditions as yeah. well. Diabetes, kidney issue. Yes, various chronic conditions too. Mm-hmm.
And this is all, this money all goes to help pay for those.
Absolutely.
Care.
Absolutely. Medical care is expensive. Medical and surgical supplies have become much more expensive. So of course that cost increases year over year.
Pets get older.
They do.
And mm-hmm. as they get older, they sometimes run into different problems. The older the animal, the more likely they are to have dental problems.
Just like
problems.
Human beings. Just like human beings, yes.
Exactly. Really. You know, I can... I have a very old Chihuahua. He's about, we figure, 14, 15 years old. And I can see on some mornings that he's just slow mm-hmm. and doesn't feel good. And I'm like, dude, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, right I know exactly you. What you're talking about.
So these older pups and these older cats and older even bunnies and whatnot mm-hmm, that you guys mm-hmm. get, the Oshkosh Area Humane Society recently got a grant.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did for specifically for medical care for senior animals.
And it was the gray muzzle grant,
yes,
I think is what it was
yes.
called.
Yes, and we do special blood work for our seniors. And so, especially for dogs, if we're looking at what is a senior, so it's really 7 years plus. Mm-hmm. And there are so many animals that come in at that age that either come in as strays, where we can as best guesstimate how old the animal is. But we also get a lot of surrenders due to the hardships right now, financial hardships out there. So for those animals that we know are elderly and they have a birthday, so to speak, all of those get the senior care as well. Mm-hmm.
And this gray muzzle grant, how much of a grant did you guys get? Do you know?
We get $11,000.
Well, that's mm-hmm. still, that mm-hmm. helps a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And many of these seniors also need dental care. And as you know, dental care, those are long procedures. So yeah. it takes our veterinarian quite some time to go through those and it pays for that. So we're extremely grateful. They are wonderful, wonderful partners for us.
Do you guys do anything special to adopt out the elderly animals that you might have at the Oshkosh Area Humane Society?
We do. We try to focus a lot of our marketing and kind of social media exposure on these seniors, because seniors really make wonderful, wonderful pets. They really do. And so it's promoting them in social media. We also, a lot of times, we have very low to no adoption costs on these senior animals. We also have a lot of times folks who sponsor adoption fees for dogs specifically. Our cats don't have adoption fees at all, regardless of age. All we ask for is that the adopter pay for microchip and for the vaccine. But other than that, we really we do not have adoption costs for cats, but for dogs we do. And these senior dogs, a lot of the time we have the fees sponsored by somebody, a donor or an organization. And I want to give specifically a shout out to Pete's Garage Bar, who now are sponsoring adoption fees and food and toys for many of our long-termers. So they are wonderful to work with.
And they absolutely, you got to give Pete's Garage props for anything.
Yes,
I just
absolutely
love them. They're so irreverent and just so much fun in the community, but they really care about the community.
Oh, absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. We're so grateful. Like, I couldn't tell you enough.
So if somebody is interested in adopting a senior mm-hmm. pet or helping out at the shelter, where do they go? What can they do?
They can go to our website, oahs.org. And they can see the volunteer opportunities and the available animals. And we always list the age of the animal as well. Or if they have very specific questions, they can always email to info@oahs.org. And then I'm typically the one who is addressing all those emails, and I can direct them to the right person.
Absolutely. Yava Engel, thank you so much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. Love coming here.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. According to our affiliate in Dallas, WFAA, three people have been wounded at an ICE office. Police are searching for a possible sniper or several shooters. Sources say one person was found shot on the roof of a nearby immigration attorney's office, but there aren't any more details available right now. Jimmy Kimmel back on the airwaves last night after being suspended by ABC parent company Disney following comments Kimmel made about the person who may have killed Charlie Kirk.
Before Kimmel's return, Disney ABC saying it suspended the show to avoid further inflaming a tense situation at an emotional moment for our country. But the company citing days of thoughtful conversations with Jimmy in announcing his return.
ABC's Lana Moise, Disney parent company of ABC. President Trump saying NATO countries should shoot down Russian jets if they cross their borders. At the UN General Assembly, he also told Ukrainian President Zelensky he now thinks Ukraine can win back all the territory it's lost to Russia. This is ABC News.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to WISS, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
Point 3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. On the heels of a $13 million